folks, it's great to have Dr. Kirk Elliott with us back again every week with new updates. And every week we close with, I wonder what's going to happen this past week. And it's been definitely eventful. You can go to amwino.com/gold. You know, below this video, click on that link and you'll be able to reach out to Dr. Kirk Elliott and his amazing team. Yeah, it's been an amazing week. We've seen the assassination attempt again on President Trump. It just so happened that one of the mainstream media groups happened to be there to watch him while he was playing golf that day. Always seem to show up when it seems like they know what's going on. And this guy had a lot of ties to Ukraine, ties to a chef who was also friends with the Waltz team and Harris team, friends with the Bidens, and also went over to Ukraine to hang out with Zelensky. So just kind of strange how they want to keep wars going. And they have to figure out ways to use their best buddies to go out there on a golf course to try to take President Trump out. Just interesting how that always plays out, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's like people think that a lot of these things are just coincidental. It's like, no, they're not. I mean, you look at the players who always distance themselves just enough, right? But you start to connect some of these dots. And here's the scary part. It's like they're 0-for-3. Right. It's like, how many times are they going to try? I mean, really, how many times? And when is Trump going to have an army of people surrounding him constantly? Yep. Because the Secret Service is doing such an awful job. I mean, for crying out loud, LT, it's like, yep. I mean, this is just getting ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It is. The other thing that we were talking about before we jumped on was just the arrests that are happening. Like P. Diddy is a big one. And his ties to a lot of the elites from New York, they said that the investigation is continuing and they're going to go after the folks no matter how much they have or how famous they are. And so we're watching a lot of things play out here leading up to this election. And it's definitely telling as these connections that Diddy seems to have are again, with folks that don't like President Trump or, you know, somehow tied to some evil sources out there. So we're just watching a lot play out, of course, around us, and it's been interesting to watch.
Yeah, how much time did P. Diddy get? Did they say
he wasn't able to post bail, so he's in jail until he goes to trial?
Okay, wow. Yep. All right, good. He deserves worse than that for what he did to these little kids.
Yep, that's right. And so as we head forward, you've got some information to share with us today. It's pretty interesting. As we play this out, one of those is the Russian businesses now using gold to pay Chinese suppliers. What's going on there?
So this is a real interesting concept, right? Because we've talked a lot about using silver for barter in a worst case scenario, right? Which is why a lot of my clients who have larger accounts, you know, I would say get the largest format bars of silver that you can and store them at the depository, right? It's like maximize your ounces. But even with that, everybody should have a small amount at home, like maybe $5,000 of 1 ounce rounds or something, right? To cover you in case of a complete economic meltdown. Merchants don't want the currency anymore. There's some kind of a power outage. You know, you just need something to survive on, right? That's what a barter material is. Well, people complain at me and say, Kurt, are you expecting a zombie apocalypse? I mean, give us a freaking break, blah, 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 right? It's like, okay, you negative Nellies. It's like we're trying to protect and preserve and grow and thrive here. But look at what Russia did. So Russia's no different than what we're talking about on an individual scale, but they're a country. So Russia got slapped with a bunch of international sanctions, right, because of their war against Ukraine. So they can't use the ruble. They can't do all this stuff. So what are they doing? Saying, all right, we can't use our currency, the ruble, anymore. So we're going to use couriers and ship gold to Hong Kong to actually pay for stuff. So what are they doing? The large version of a barter world, right? When their ruble can't be used because it has international sanctions placed against it. And so they're just using gold as currency. Same thing that we're recommending for individuals to do in a time when, I mean, you name the event. Maybe there's a power grid failure and you can't use your ATM machines. Maybe there's a bank failure, right? And there's a run on the banks and you can't get your money out. Maybe there's all kinds of different things of civil unrest, disarray, disorder, or simply we go to mark of the beast type currency system and people need something to survive with, right? In a different alternative economic system. Well, that's where barter comes in. I'm not trying to be clandestine and conspiratorial and, you know, but our goal is to protect and preserve, to bring people peace, right? And what Russia is doing is the same thing that we're recommending for individuals to protect themselves with.
And that leads into what we're looking at here, the Russia launching the digital ruble for public use by July 2025.
Yeah, see, we've talked a lot about central bank digital currency over the last year. Yeah. And how the whole globe, well, not all of it, like 97% of it, the only people that aren't involved in central bank digital currency might be like some little small South Pacific island somewhere where they don't even have computers or whatever. But really, most of the world is going towards central bank digital currency. So what Russia is doing is in 2025, that's not too far down the road, but by the middle of next year, going with a digital ruble, getting rid of paper. Wow. And it's like, well, what does that mean? Well, other countries are going to start to follow suit and do the same thing. And why do governments want to get rid of paper? Because not because it's dirty or it has COVID on it or something like that. It's because it's private, right? You can go to any farmer's market or gas station or grocery store and give them a $20 bill and nobody knows it was you that did it. Right? Well, you can't do that in a digital world. They're going to know the source of funds, the use of funds, the ideology of you spending that money. And if it coincides with the globalist elite ideology that they want you to have, and if it doesn't, well, they can flip the switch and say, no more buying for you, LT. Right. And so this is where Russia is moving along very, very quickly. Into the digital world. And I expect the rest of the BRICS nations to do the same, because under Project Enbridge from the Bank for International Settlements and other things, they really, really want to be the world's reserve currency. In doing so, they're going to pull all the economies of the BRICS nations, which now include, it's not just Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. It's the OPEC nations, because they added UAE and Saudi Arabia and Egypt and Ethiopia and Iran. And it's like, good grief. So bringing all of them together under one digital common currency that's backed by gold, which is what they want to do. In fact, I didn't send you this article when we were talking earlier, but Saudi Arabia bought secretly 150 tons of gold. It's like, okay, that's a lot of tons, and that's a lot of gold, right? So and for to what end? Why would Russia's using gold to actually make purchases because of sanctions, but the rest of the BRICS nations are buying gold by the hundreds or thousands of tons, right, to back up their currency. And now that Saudi Arabia is part of the BRICS nations, I just see this as a move in that direction, away from Western money, right? Away from the British pound, away from the euro, away from the US dollar, and having this new system of central bank digital currency that they want to use gold as like this carrot dangling out there saying, come to us, right? We've got some real tangible backing to our currency. Everybody should want ours. And people will march down that road, go through that open door, and think that they're safe. And then China slams that door shut. And if you're in there, you're never getting your money out, right? It's like they want to entrap you. This is where I believe, looking down the road a little bit, you don't need armies marching through the street with machine guns to actually force people into compliance.
That's right.
If you're an evil globalist, well, do it clean and do it easy, right? This is their messaging. It's like, you know what? We can do it with our banks. We can do it with your bank accounts, ideologically based spending. What a better, cleaner way, LT, to force compliance than to have the authority basically to cut you off from your money.
That's right.
That's what they're doing. I think that's exactly where they're going with this.
Yeah, because it's a reminder. I mean, you just threw that one out there again, but you know, of the transactions that we make. So if we donate to our local church or some type of political person that the world can't stand, they can see all of our transactions and shut us down so they don't receive any money anymore. And that's a full control of everyone if you go to this digital currency, CBDC. So yeah, it's a stark reminder of what they're trying to do to all of us.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a good point there. You also had the private sector partners join Project Agora. What is this all about?
Okay, so remember, and I know that all the End We Know listeners will probably remember this, about 4 months ago, maybe less than that, we were talking about a lot of the different projects that the Bank for International Settlements is working on. Project Aurora, Project Icebreaker, Project Aurum, and now Project Agora. So what do all those things have in common? Complete people control. So when you look at the, and I'm all four of those, here's what they do. One of them actually has real-time transaction monitoring of every person at every bank in every country. Why would they want that? To go to the next project that they were working on is to test the ideology and the use of funds on any international or domestic bank wires from bank to bank. So if your ideology doesn't match up with theirs, well, then they're going to disallow the bank wire. Mm-hmm. Then Project Aurum basically brought together basically all of the central bank digital currencies with Project Embridge kind of attached to it, which basically says, hey, all these different currencies, all these different exchange rates, all these central bank digital currencies, we want them all to talk to each other, right? So they're building that platform. Now, part of this actually goes back to what the United Nations and the Bank for International Settlements wants to do as a unified ledger. So a unified ledger concept is where all of your assets that have, for layman's terms, a title, which means you have title to it, brokerage account, checking account, savings account, your house, you know, anything like that. They want to tokenize, meaning they put it into a package. They just wind it up into a ball, and that's yours, right? All of your stuff. Well, under World Economic Forum's vision for the future with programmable money based on your digital social profile, social credit score, this unified ledger of tokenization of all your assets, they can flip off the switch of ownership and give it to somebody else, right? It's like, in all or in part. I mean, that's the danger of a unified ledger. So this isn't the grand evil design and scheme of just central banks around the world. Granted, this project does have the Bank of France, which would encompass the Eurozone and the Federal Reserve and the Bank of Japan. And it's like all these different central banks around the world. But 40 private financial institutions now. So it's like, okay, who's involved and who's basically, and we're going to name names here, right? Because they are listed, right? So who is saying, hey, Bank for International Settlements and all you big global bankers, we like the idea of a unified ledger. And so we're going to help you build this platform where all of our clients' assets and brokerage accounts and savings accounts and checking accounts will build into this. And we're going to help you do it. Right. Okay. So who are some of these? So I'm not going to name off all of them because a lot of them are international banks, but I'll name off some of the ones from the top that I think people would know.
Yeah. There's Citibank there.
Yeah. BBVA, BNP Paribas. They have a lot of regional banks in America. Bank of New York, Citi, Deutsche Bank, HSBC, JP Morgan Chase. Doesn't get any bigger than that in North America, right? Lloyd's Banking Group, MasterCard, and Visa. Who doesn't have a MasterCard or a Visa, right?
They are.
Then you've got Swift. Okay, Swift is basically every financial institution that sends wires back and forth in the Western world.
That's right.
That's really big. UBS, Toronto Dominion Bank, which actually TD merged with Schwab. So that's big. How about on the gold and silver side? Okay, it really matters who you're buying your metals through, because Monex is on there. It's like, what, Monex? They're a large dealer, right? What in the world are they doing being involved in a unified ledger, unless there's some other company out there named Monex. But it's like, good grief. You've got all of these companies, massive amounts of assets, some of the largest banks in the world, mm-hmm. you know, basically saying, we're going to help this globalist agenda mm-hmm. of putting together a unified ledger so people's assets can all be packaged up yep. and you can easily flip off the ownership and give it to somebody else if you don't like that. We're going to help you do that. Yep. And it's like, what in the world?
Can you explain Monex to us again? You kind of went real quick over that. What is that again? What does Monex mean?
Monex is the name of a company. It's a gold and silver dealer.
Gold and silver dealer. So it's not like a regular bank then?
No, it's not a bank. It's like a gold and silver dealer in California.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's not a bank.
And so why would they want to be a part of that? That's what you were asking.
I don't know. I mean, why would any of these banks, unless they're run by globalists, want to be a part of it and face the risk of ticking off their clients, right? But I think what are they being promised on the other side of that? Why would they tick off their clients saying, yeah, we're going to help put together a unified ledger where you don't own your assets anymore if we don't want you to? What are they being promised on the other side, right? What is the little lies being whispered in their ear? And what kind of power are they wanting being, you know, granted, right? So these are the kind of things I think about. And in my mind, I'm just seeing the devil just whispering in their ear, oh, it's okay. It's okay to sin. Nobody's ever going to find out, right? Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know,
I mean, why in the world would these companies do this to their clients? Well, it's because I think they're going to be part of the power structure moving forward in a way to force compliance in a globalist world where they now can control everybody. Because you know what, LT, like we've talked about before, if you really want to control somebody and you want to force compliance, you don't have to be like brown shirts during the Nazi regime. You don't have to have armies of people with machine guns walking down the street saying, you better comply or else you're dead.
Right, you know, right.
How about just through banks? Mm. That's really clean. It's like, if you don't comply, if your ideology doesn't match up with ours, we're just going to cut you off from your bank account. Oh. You can't buy gas. You can't buy food. You can't pay your rent. You can't pay your mortgage. No better way to force compliance cleanly, sadly, than by separating you from your money. I mean, that's the ugly reality of how I see this.
Yeah. And then you have this this headline here, a decade-long commodity super cycle is just getting started. That's out of the Kitco News. What's going on with this?
Okay, so commodity cycles go in. I mean, I'm a big cycles guy, right? I look at trends and long-term trends and short-term trends. But what we're seeing with this commodity super cycle now is that equities are super sky high, commodities are really low, and it's about to change with the interest rate reduction that we now saw. This week when the Fed lowered interest rates half a point for the first time in forever, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, they realized going into an election, they've got a catch 22 moment, and they just chose inflation. I'm telling you, they just chose inflation, because if you kept interest rates where they are or even raise them, you face a nasty recession. Well, who wants to go into an election where people vote with a recession? So they decided, okay, we haven't won the war against inflation, but we're going to lower rates anyways, and that's going to add even more inflation. So with that inflationary pressures that are coming, things that are things, right? Anything can be a thing, a bicycle, groceries, oil, gas, gold, silver, computers, whatever. They're going to go up in price because inflation is simply printing too much money. It cheapens that currency, and therefore it takes more of that currency to buy valuable goods and services. So right. When we see price increases, that's not inflation. That's a symptom of inflation. The real inflation is an increase in the money supply. So as we see this kind of stuff happening, you're going to see massive inflation coming with rate decreases, because that's going to cause more inflation. And we're in for probably a decade-long super cycle in commodities prices going up. For people that own gold and silver, that's very exciting. I mean, that's just really quite great, because we own something that's going to be going up in a long-term trend. I love that when we're trying to protect and preserve and grow and thrive.
That's correct. Yeah. So that definitely reaches out to many of the folks that have learned this year. I mean, you made the prediction, not you, but you were showing the headlines a few weeks ago where we saw gold go up to about $50 an ounce where it's kind of in the 20s now. So that's a huge shift just up to the end of the year.
Yeah. So silver, I mean, you meant, so silver, yeah. 20, you know, it started at 22, like 4 or 5 months ago. Then it got up to 29 or 30. Now it going to 50 from 30, which is what the projections are. That's a 60% increase from where we are today.
Right.
And that's a lot.
That's huge. Right?
And that would put gold probably at $3,000 an ounce. See, this isn't the end. The end of this year isn't the end. That's still in the beginning stages. I think there's massive growth ahead of that because the fundamental forces that cause that are still intact. In fact, they're getting worse. Right. And you look at what happens when you lower interest rates. When you lower interest rates throughout time, we've had two rate reductions, you know, periods since the year 2000. One in 2000, right after 9/11. And then one that started in 2007 to actually basically get us out of the 2008-2009 correction that we saw. I mean, things were being overvalued. They said to start lowering interest rates. And this caused problems, caused gold and silver to go up tremendously. But look at this. Look at these numbers. January 3rd, 2001. What did they do? They lowered interest rates 50 basis points, the same thing they did on September 18th of this last week. And what happens after that? The S&P 500 went down 39% in the next 448 days.
Ooh.
And we went into a recession, right? Then September 18th of 2007, they lowered rates half a point. S&P 500 came down 54% in 372 days, right? And we went into a recession. Now, September 18th of 2024, it's like, the same date, right? As 2007. And look what that happened. The 2008-2009 market meltdown, right? So what are we expecting now? Similar results from the last times they had the first rate reduction in a series that was half a point, which means when it's half a point and the consensus of pretty much most economists, I wasn't one of them, but earlier today I was on another show and saying, I think they're going to lower it 50 basis points. And they did. Most of the world was thinking 25, right? A quarter of a point.
Right.
Well, as I was thinking about it, they have to lower it half because they're so scared, LT. They're scared that they want a soft landing on this economy, meaning they want to avoid recession really bad going into an election year. They're not going to get that with 25 basis points. In fact, they're not going to get it with 50 basis points. Here's why. When you lower interest rates, the expectation is you lower that cost of borrowing. People are going to borrow. They're going to spend. They're going to grow the economy, and things are going to start booming, right? That's why you lower interest rates, is to stimulate the economy.
Right.
Well, most of America is living paycheck to paycheck, hand to mouth, right? They don't have enough money. I don't care if interest rates go to zero. If you've maxed out your credit lines and you don't have anything left at the end of the month, lowering interest rates is not going to stimulate the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing that will is creating jobs, right? So here's where they're going to lower interest rates thinking it's going to stimulate the economy. It's not. All it's going to do is make inflation more, and we're going to head into an inflationary recession, which is stagflation, like the late 70s. This is possibly because of the debt that we're in, the normal economic models don't work, which would say, you lower interest rates, people are going to spend more money and that'll grow the economy. We don't have any money left over as a nation at the end of every month. So, and the reason Jerome Powell on Wednesday said, we're confident in the labor market and how strong it is. It's like, what are you smoking, Jerome Powell? I mean, seriously, you're happy with the labor market? And Tupperware just filed for bankruptcy. Big Lots just filed for bankruptcy. Boeing just announced the same day that they lowered rates on Wednesday, that they're furloughing tens of thousands of people every single week, right? It's like, this is not a strong economy. Where are the jobs? How do they say that this labor market is so robust? It is not robust. So anyways, I don't see a rosy outcome to this. All it's going to do is actually hurt Americans even more. But what we can do, LT, is just keep shouting it from the rooftops that there is a solution to put a smile on people's faces to protect themselves, at least financially, in this crazy world we're living in.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because just the other day we looked up our house that we actually owned in Cherry Point, North Carolina, before I retired from the Marine Corps. We bought it in 2007, right before everything fell apart. It was just, at the time we thought everything was great. We got caught up in that whole system. We ended up losing thousands and thousands of dollars when we sold years later. But that house is now $140,000 more expensive than it was when we bought it. And I thought that little tiny house is not, in my opinion, from what we bought it, is not worth that. And so I just weird that I happened to look that up the other day, and I'm thinking, man, is that another bubble that we're heading into? And so there you have it. Once again, we're at that point where it seems like things could happen in the housing market. Once again, we brought that up, I believe, about a month ago. But yeah, all this stuff playing out. And again, you shared something very important for all the listeners, that it's a great time again to get involved with precious metals. Yeah. I mean, the signs are there. This economy seems to be falling apart all around us, but we've got the opportunity to go to the biblical side. And that's what I've learned from you, is the biblical side is gold and silver. And silver's definitely been a big one from your company, helping a lot of folks out.
Well, we try. I mean, literally, it's a function of Holy Spirit guidance, right? Just listening to God's voice, sometimes a gentle whisper in our ears. Sometimes he just bonks us upside the head because we're stubborn. And it's like listening. You can't listen if you're surrounded with a bunch of noise, right? So every morning, like clockwork, I get up at 3 something, have my devotions, have my quiet time. And, I don't know how I would get through the day without that. I don't know how people can get through life right now without Jesus. It's pretty bad out there, right? But boy, in the midst of the storm, he brings peace. I don't worry about it. It's because he's got all of this. God's not up there, LT, scratching his gray beard like mine, except his is probably longer, thinking, ooh, I didn't see any of this coming. Oh boy, now what? It's like, God's not saying that. Yep. God's saying, I've got this. Just soak into me, right? And my word is there for not just suggestions, but for really a blueprint for a successful life. And if we were to abide by that, love your neighbor, have no other God before him, all the different things that he says for us. And one of the big things he talks about, finances, don't be a borrower is a slave to the lender, right? Don't get involved in so much debt that you can't pay it off. You're going to become an economic slave, right? You start to apply God's word in your life and that wisdom, and boy, there's no reason to not have a smile on your face because he's got this.
That's right. Amen. Amen. So let's close a prayer real quick on that note. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for amazing updates from Dr. Kirk Elliott and his team. Thank you for their just constant reminder that they have people over profit, and they have a leader who's definitely soaked in your word every single day, and just for protection over their company, over all the attacks from the enemy that's trying to stop them from helping everyday folks that just need your support. And so thank you once again for their team. We lift them up to you. In the name of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen
and amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother, so much. Amazing update today. So much to go through. Have to watch this again and again just to get all the points down. We definitely appreciate you guys.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye for now.